As I mentioned at the top of the show, I spoke with Ottawa environmentalist David Chernyshenko last June. David is well known as a sustainability advocate who sits as vice chair on the National Roundtable on the Environment and the Economy. He was a Green Party candidate in two federal elections in Ottawa Centre, probably why a lot of people know his name, and also won provincial election in Ottawa South. And he also rose to become the party's deputy leader. Now, David calls himself a green economy educator, and he is currently working to complete a film entitled Powerful: Energy for Everyone. We spoke about sustainable transit issues, and I'm playing this interview to demonstrate just how relevant these discussions can remain, even though a significant amount of time has passed. 52 weeks ago, or maybe it was like 54, you know, that I spoke with David, we talked about a range of things. It was over 30 minutes, the interview. And we talked about a transit tunnel. Before that discussion really erupted in Ottawa, we talked about cycling, which you'll hear a lot about here. And we talked about a spoken wheel system of public transit where, you know, you have people from the suburbs coming in and transferring to downtown transit just outside of downtown, kind of like a, you know, there are a few different little rotations of transit vehicles going on in the city at any given time. We talked about all of that. And, you know, you'd hope that some decisions had been made in the year that's passed, but everything that we were talking about that might have been presented to council is still being talked about, which I think is quite interesting. So that's why I play this again. It's about 12 and a half minutes, this interview, and then I'll play this, come back, and then we will talk about safe cycling with Elaine McGregor. But enjoy this right now here on CHUO 89.1 FM. This is David Chernyshenko.
The signal that's going out to everyone is we've got trains and cars and buses and cyclists mixing with each other, so use your peripheral vision, be aware. And I filmed this scene in a newer suburb of Stockholm, as well as one in Freiburg, where you've got kids on their little bikes crossing tram tracks 10 seconds before the tram goes by, with no ding ding ding, you know, or other. You can hear the tram coming. It's marked, you know, as you cross, that you're crossing a tram. And the tram's moving at a modest speed. So it performs a sort of an integrative function in that it's very people-friendly. And to top it all off, you can put your bike on it, and you can roll a stroller right onto it. They're all right at grade. So the ease with which someone in a suburb in Copenhagen will roll their bike onto a tram, or even one of the suburban trains, they call an S-line in Copenhagen, and go downtown and then roll off and cycle the 2 kilometers to work, you know, it makes it so much simpler. There isn't this, if you're a cyclist, you've got to cycle from Barrhaven to Orleans to work, you know, if you're a driver, if you're a train. I found it puzzling, the opposition to some of the proposals, some of the early proposals, based on the idea that we might have to change trains. You know, it won't go directly from my house to work. Well, nobody in Tokyo or Paris or Copenhagen or Freiburg expects to get on one line and off, you know, at their place of work. They expect to have to change trains, or maybe from train to bus to bicycle. But because of the frequency of the system, you're not stranded for 45 minutes as an OC transport, you know, a bus rider might be, mm-hmm. On a cold day waiting for the next bus. So I think that is a key to that. It is quite easy to have multimodal systems with people making transfers, but if it's infrequent, that's where it becomes a real impediment.
When you wrote with Stockholm, you just mentioned it to the cyclists. Mm-hmm. It seems like cyclists are integrated. It's a very accepted alternative to driving.
Little was I to know that I would find even better after Stockholm. You know, I saw Freiburg, that was great. Stockholm was even better.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other Swedish cities, and Copenhagen was the best of all.
Can cycling become a major source of personal transit? A major way to get from A to B? Is it currently in Ottawa? And if it's not, I mean, can it be? You talk about on the blog, the integrated lanes and how it just seems seamless.
It absolutely can be, but at the moment it's very difficult, and that's why I wrote about all the closet cyclists, people mm-hmm. who would love to, but at the moment just find it too daunting, and for good reason. I mean, first of all, let's acknowledge that we've got some pretty tough weather part of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying to people that you should cycle all year round. I don't cycle all year round, and I'm a fanatical cyclist. I have some friends who do. I don't call them nuts, but you know, they push it further than me. I feature one of them in my film. I think he's great. He's an inspiration to us, but I'm not going to do what he's doing. But with the right system, we could be doing it much more of the year, and we could have way more people doing it. So let's acknowledge that for a part of the year, most people will put their bikes away. Let's not make that an obstacle to investing in the infrastructure for 9 months of the year. Now, we just had a really big snow winter, and people have that fresh on their minds, but let's remember that the two, three, or four before that, we had almost nothing. I was cycling right through January. This is the winter before that. Let's say summer, winter. The winter before that. So who knows what the climate's going to bring us. But the fact is that at least 9 months of the year, you know, you can cycle if you dress properly for it. But let's ignore that winter issue and just look at the rest of the year. Most people will be traveling too great a distance. The way we've set up our suburbs, people's mobility, people have often ended up building a home or buying a home somewhere that's far away from work. And that was, until very recently, completely normal. Mm-hmm. Many of us are questioning that now. Mm-hmm. Gas prices are causing a lot of people to question that right now. Well, how do we shift from that? By acknowledging that few people will cycle the whole distance. So how do we make it easy and efficient and safe for those who do want to cycle the whole distance, and for the others who just want to be able to do a part of it? One solution in Paris and Lyon and others is you've got these city bicycles, free bicycles, or token payment for them. They're not designed for someone to rent the bike all day. They're designed for you to ride your bike to the train station, take the train into town, and find a stand of bicycles waiting for you to get you to work. You hop on it, you ride it to the nearest bike stand to your university, your workplace, or the Rideau Center, where you're going shopping. You check in the bike there, you get your money back because you've returned the bicycle. You paid nothing because the trip was less than half an hour. It's designed for short trips that way. And it's made it possible to not have to ride the train with your bike, which is an interesting way of looking at it. Mm. While in some places it's great that you can bring your bike right on the train, it's nice if some people do that. You can't have 40 riders get on a train with their bikes. You can have two or three, after which it becomes too cumbersome. So if most people know that there's a bike waiting for them at the other end, it then becomes, okay, I'll walk that 500 meters or have my spouse drop me off or take the local bus to the train station. Then I'll take it in to downtown and I'll know there's a bike waiting for me and I'll finish the trip on a bike. But that approach only works if it's as seamless as possible kind of a system. So the bike lanes in these cities that I saw, there are a lot of people doing the whole trip by bicycle. The distances they are traveling are probably shorter than a lot of suburban and rural dwellers in Ottawa would, but anyone from Nepean through to Beacon Hill is cycling 5, 7, 8 kilometers into work. Totally manageable, anywhere from 20 to 30 or 40 minute ride. They're doing it dressed in their work clothes, a little clip on their pants, not viewing themselves as being super athletes, just, okay, I do it every day, it's no big deal, I'm fit to do this. So I found it fascinating to watch this sort of the nonchalance, the this is no big deal kind of an mm-hmm. approach that, as I wrote about, grandmothers, chic-dressed women in high heels, portly gentlemen with a briefcase attached to the back, they're not sprinting, guy with a bit of a paunch can still ride his bike. But I saw a whole lot less portly Copenhagen makers than I see in Ottawa.
Interesting. How long do you think it would take to set up a system where these physical lanes exist, and also a change in attitude where more people aren't thinking about riding their bikes to work?
I would say it would take 10 years, and it would only take 10 years if we started now, and if we acknowledge from the outset that this isn't going to be a, you know, between now and September we're going to build an entirely new system. You would start by saying every time a street or a sidewalk needs repair, you're going to seize that opportunity, not just to replace the sewer infrastructure and the telecom cables and everything else that's there. We're actually going to redesign that street. So when part of Bank Street is due, you know, for rebuilding or Merivale or anywhere else, we say, now we're going to, you know, this summer we're going to redo these streets. And I say sidewalks because what works with that system is cyclists, in a way, are riding on sidewalks. They're not riding in the traffic with the cars. On the few occasions where you really are sort of on the road, you're on a very clearly marked, often in bright blue or bright red lane, so the cars are very aware that, you know, you're there and bikes are going to be there. But what you have is kind of a two-level sidewalk. You've got either literally different levels or just a very clearly marked line. And you as a pedestrian, a tourist, learn very quickly. When you step out of a shop or out of your friend's apartment building onto the sidewalk, you look left and right. It's just what you do, because there's a very strong chance a cyclist is going to be whizzing by. Now, the closest half of that sidewalk to the buildings is for pedestrians. The cyclists are next level further out to the traffic. And often they are actually at a grade, you know, a 3-centimeter maybe drop, or maybe even just one, you know, just to show you that, you know, you are now on the bike's lane. And they're constantly marked with little bicycles, you know, spray-painted bicycles to remind a pedestrian that, that that's what's there. So we would have to begin to redo the way, rethink and redo the way we do sidewalks. And I would say we're going to have to take back a quarter of the lane. You know, imagine Bank Street, where the two lanes of traffic right now are going to be half a meter narrower than they are now. In order to create a meter-wide bike lane, without making the side of the existing sidewalk even narrower, which they're already narrow enough for pedestrians. So I acknowledge that it's going to be a long-term conversion project. But in a way, I think that's a good thing, because gradual, I'll pick an example, you know, gradual conversion often allows naysayers to see that, hey, this isn't so bad after all. You drop something new on people all at once, you're going to have a lot of critics who hate it, or they're going to fight it. So looking at the pedestrian bridge, the famous or infamous Corkstown Bridge, which I absolutely love and have written about and how well it works, and I notice the citizens even now writing about how well it works, it took building one for people to see, including some suburbanites who felt this was a waste of taxpayers' money, go on it, use it. Wow, this is nice. No cars. You know? People go out of their way. No, I go out of my way to ride that route because I know I can go over that bridge and, you know, deal with less, not have to cross Pretoria Bridge or Laurier or these scary places. So sometimes when you start with one, you can help people see, okay, it wasn't that bad. Maybe we'll build another one. And I see this as a possibility with converting to better bike lanes. Eventually we can do what Copenhagen is considering, and they call it a bicycle highway. You actually, they're now starting to design, coming in from each of the main sort of directions of suburbs, a roadway for bikes, lane for bikes, where you will not have to stop. You know, it will be, maybe you'll have to stop once or twice on the entire ride in from your suburb. So imagine getting on in South Keys or Kanata and not having a stop sign or a red light between there and downtown. You know, whoa, what a concept. That's at the far edge, and even that's only just starting to happen.
That was an excerpt from an interview I conducted with David Chernyshenko here on CHUO 89.1 FM.